Welcome to this episode of The Balanced Mind, where we're going to be talking about planning your time. So it's sort of like a bit of an overlap, particularly with accountants who are endeavouring to meet the end of October deadlines and then doing a lot of preparation for the, is it April deadlines, end of March? So there's a lot of stuff that's got to happen in a very short space of time. And on top of that, all the changes. So, welcome, Richard. I should be looking forward to your viewpoints on this. As a project manager, I'll be able to bring the planning side a little bit more in. So, a former project manager, I should say. Yes. So, planning then. How do accountants and bookkeepers plan for the end of October? What's a good model that they might use?
Planning is an area where traditionally accountants ought to be very strong. Right from day one of our training, we're taught to plan, control, review. So, planning should be something that we're very, very good at. I think most would hold their hands up and go, yeah, I could be better. There's a vicious circle that goes around in the head and in reality that is to do with the relationship between planning and time, because the purpose of planning is to make effective use of time. But of course, the actual act of planning takes up time. And that sort of conundrum is probably at the heart of a huge amount of accountants and bookkeepers' stress levels,
Yes.
because, it's a classic. Is it horse before the cart, tail on the dog? It's all that sort of stuff. Chicken and egg. Where do I start? Because if I plan things really well, I'm going to make good use of my time. At the moment, I'm short of time, and therefore I don't have time to plan. Yeah, and it's all well and good. People like you and I come into offices and saying, "Guys, you need to stop. Need to sit down, do your planning." But they'll go, "Yeah, no, I get that, but I'm really, really busy right now." So we've talked a lot, haven't we, about time, and we've talked a lot about how accountants organise themselves. I'm a massive, massive believer in the fact that actually, in many respects, the conversation isn't around time and isn't around planning. It's around understanding your priorities.
I agree, absolutely.
And sort of making it a triangle rather than this linear. They're planning this end, time that end. Where am I? Well, let's just stick a third point in there, which is priorities, and let that then start to determine where you are on that other line.
Yeah, we used to have something similar when I did project management, Prince 2 trained. So there was lots of different theories, and that was one of them, or something similar to that. It's not exactly the same. It was cost or quality, I think, was the one that we went with. So I think as somebody who loves planning, I also happen to know that as soon as you've started to implement it, it's already gone wrong. Something's changed. Just because you've thought of something you hadn't thought of, and it's always susceptible to third party intervention. If it was just you, then you would do it. But there's a third party in here, be it, your client, the HMRC, maybe auditors or suppliers. Or whoever, there's a whole raft of different people on there that can implement your impact your plan. So, and I remember once developing a plan, and I was laughed out of the meeting almost, because they said, "That's ridiculous. We can get that done much faster than that." They could, but that assumed there was going to be no changes, and I think I'd been a bit of a perfectionist, so I'd done it, I'd built in time, allowed for the fact that change control hadn't been approved when it should have been. I allowed for the fact that something might be late, la la la, resourcing. And they just said, no, take all that out. They didn't need or want the extra time that was built in. So, if, for example, this end of October thing, I would have started having that planned in June so that I knew everything that was going to happen up until then, because you've still got your month ends and your VAT returns and everything. So that would have all been scheduled in. No, they wanted all that removed because what they were doing was putting pressure on people to get things done. And that is a really interesting concept. The idea is that the more time you've got, the more you'll use. Hello. Whereas if you haven't got much time, you get it done. Most people will get it done because they are up against it. So I find the whole theories around planning and time and, all this good stuff very interesting. And I think you're right. It's down to priorities of the individual. How do they operate? Are they a just-in-time person? Or are they, I've got to have it all planned and low, God forbid anybody affect the plan. We all know somebody who's planned something to within an inch of its life and you break it and then they have a little meltdown of some sort, be it a shouting match or, running away crying. So we've all been there, but I think understanding how we operate within this time situation and the using it is really important. So priorities is definitely a big one, and the importance of them to us.
What I like about priorities is how it helps you when all these different plans overlap, because I think that's where the challenge comes in. Creating a single plan for a single project or a single piece of work or a single area of focus, that's fine. We can all sit down and do that. If someone said, okay, write a 5-year plan for your business, we can do that. Write the workflow plan for the next 3 months, we can all do that. Create a holiday plan for your team. We can all do that. Creating those individual plans isn't a problem. The problem is all those plans then start to overlap.
Yep.
Because this plan says I'm doing this, and this plan says that person's on holiday, and this plan says that this is a priority for the business, and all of a sudden these things are overlapping. And that's where we then start to almost like chop bits out of the plans just to try and make them all fit into the same space, which they were never designed to do in the first place. I think to understand our priorities, we almost have to prioritize which plan we're focusing on at this point in time. We both know a lovely guy, Hugh, who is a military chap, and Hugh always says that words to the effect that no plan ever withstands the first interaction with the enemy. And his point there is that it's vital that you do plan. It's vital that you know what you intend to do, but equally accept that the moment you start to do it, things are going to have to change. You're going to have to adapt. You're going to have to refocus. You're going to have to adjust. But if you don't have that plan in the first place, you've got nothing to adapt to. You've got nothing to adjust to, because you've gone in with chaos, and you're dealing with chaos. So I think that time is a valuable resource for accountants. It's a valuable resource for absolutely everybody. Accountants tend to think we have sort of like this exclusive relationship with time. We don't. We're no different to any other business. We have the same amount of time as every other business. We have the same challenges on our time as every other business. Therefore, the issue is, how do you deal with your day? And there's going to be elements of your day that you can plan for. Some of those elements will be in pre-existing plans. They'll be in the 5-year plan. They'll be in the 3-month plan. They'll be in the existing workflow plan. They'll be in your diary. Those are some of the, but there will also be stuff that happens today, tomorrow, the day after, that wasn't in those plans or has come in from another plan which is now overlapping. And therefore, our challenge isn't so much the planning. Our challenge is, how do we address these interactions? We can plan to plan. Creating a plan is no different to doing a piece of work. And as accountants and as bookkeepers, one of the things that adds the greatest pressure to us is also one of our greatest strengths, because the reality is most of the work that we do is known in advance. It works to timetables. It works to monthly timetables, quarterly timetables, annual timetables. We've got deadlines that we know way in advance what they're going to do. So we can plan. Okay, we need to learn to plan effectively. And there's loads more, one of the advantages of the world we live in today, there's a lot more planning tools available that they understood an awful lot quicker. But you could sit down as an accountant or bookkeeper and write out 90% of what you expect to be doing in the next 12 months. We can do that. So therefore, allocate a bit of time now to do just that. That then will not happen. So don't, yeah, because we may have planned it, but hey, the client hasn't isn't exactly going to play ball, or the government makes something different, or someone goes off on study leave, or someone's sick, or yeah, you got there's all sorts of things that. But if you have that initial plan that you've put together effectively, then you can go, okay, right, this has now changed. The enemy's done something we didn't expect them to do. How do we adapt? Yeah, it's a different conversation. At the moment, what happens is I've got no time, therefore I'm not going to plan. You have to accept that that is a failing because we are capable of planning a huge amount of what we do. But because of the unplanned bits, you know, okay, so a client sends you an email that you weren't expecting. Hey, that's life. That's what we're here for. That's going to happen all the time. That's not a reason not to have done your next 6 months worth of planning. It might be that you'd set aside this hour to plan your next 6 months. All right, now you've got a priority. Here's the email. Which is my priority? Do I put this planning work back 30 minutes to address that email, or can that client wait? Because this is my priority. It's those decisions that actually impact on what we're doing, not the fact that we don't know how to plan or we don't have enough time.
That's an interesting thing, isn't it? So what we're talking about here is not time and not planning. It's how to cope with or cater for the unexpected. Would that be fair to say? Is that what you're telling me? Okay. And you're right. That's life. And then it comes down to what's important, isn't it? But and it won't be the same for every accountant, what's important. You know, some will put their clients absolutely first over and above their planning. Others may do their planning. Perhaps this is why people don't do their planning, because it just changes so quickly. They're in a fast moving environment right now. Maybe that's another reason why they just don't. But that's not to say there's not a framework to be had, I think.
No.
And there should still be a framework. When I worked in an accounts payable department, reporting through to well, a manager who was an accountant, I can't remember what her official title was. And she had a framework of what we worked to every month. Every month. And the time in between was spent doing not balancing. We had intercompany accounts that needed, sorting out, because there were a load of unmatched items. This is in large corporates. God bless us, you know, and things outstanding and answering queries. There was always things to be done, and they were done in those spaces. And we'd have projects that we would do. So I think knowing what time you do have is a good point, but you're right. It's I think listening to you, it is the priorities, what's important, but also being able to allow for the unexpected. I think if you're going to look at it from that perspective, I think allowing for the unexpected helps. My experience talking to accounts, they plan within an inch of their hour. And I remember again when I was on a program, and I gave some work, the breakdown of works that were happening, and I was charging at 7.5 hours, and he said they don't work 7.5 hours. Take out lunch breaks, coffee breaks, and something else. I think he had me down to about 5 hours maximum of
Five would be good.
five, exactly. Because by the time you've done all the other stuff, he said, they're not working flat out. Nobody is.
No.
And I wonder if it's time for some sort of reframe for accountants to start to understand that, if you're going to be working solid 7 till 7.5 hours, no wonder you're getting burnt out.
It's interesting when an accountant has a deadline, they almost without exception hit it.
Yes.
Yeah. When they don't have deadlines, they waste a huge amount of time. So that, you know, a deadline creates a focus and it creates a priority. And they have to have a plan for meeting that deadline. This job's got to be in by Friday. So what's our plan for getting this job in by Friday? This job is now a priority. This job is now the focus of that team member.
That's
So,
an
yeah, so
isn't
when
it?
the deadline's there, they can do it. When it isn't, they don't apply the same thinking. You know, they without I'm sounding really critical now, but They subconsciously either take their foot off the gas or they just lose that focus and consequently end up becoming more efficient. And we see it, the most extreme case every year is 31st January tax deadline. Hey, presto, all of a sudden this stuff they've been trying to get done for 5, 6, 7 months, all of a sudden gets done in 2 days. Yeah, because it's become a priority, because it's become someone's focus. So take that thinking, take that, okay, what is our, we might go into the office and it's a quiet day. So what's our priority? What's our priority? Or are we just going to sit around and stress about stuff all day or not
It
do
sort of
something?
feels like they're doing this all the
Yeah,
time.
it is. And
But
that's,
I need to be clear. You said, you're being critical. I think this is not an accountant thing. I think this is a human thing. This is what
Oh,
I'm saying.
yeah.
If we've not got any deadlines, nothing happens. But if we've suddenly got a deadline, we'll step it up and we'll do it. And I don't have the answers for that. That is one that would be really useful to find out what the research is. All I know is that, we can do it. And some of us, even regardless, are last minute dot com type people. I was one of them, which is ironic as a project manager, but you could get things done. For me, I can get things done in that short space, but it doesn't take into account the stress of getting it done. And I think this is where I particularly am interested, where people will become, they're working in a way that is stressful for them. And short, intense periods is not a problem. It's when it's ongoing, and not doing anything can be as stressful as being overworked. So, if they are doing this idea of peaks and troughs, then hello, what is going on? I don't have the answers. I will do some investigating on it though, because I think it's fascinating, isn't it?
But it is. I mean, I, in a sense, I'm being hypocritical because as a person, I go right back to my early days at school. I love a plan. I love having a plan. I'll create, I've got, yeah, I'll have, I don't care, but I'll have loads of plans on my desk. I love putting a plan together and I love delivery. I love, bringing things to a conclusion, getting a result. All the stuff in between. The prepare, yeah, the once we're preparing and once we're the doing it and all the rest of it, I don't really get activated by that until my pressure's on at delivery again. Yeah, so I'm one of these guys that I'm criticizing, but the reason I say I'm only partly hypocritical is because I learned that once I started running my own business, I learned very quickly that was my weakness. Give me, I love talking plans, love getting things done as in the delivery. In between, I'd sooner somebody else do that, please. And actually, that's how we set up our business models, that so that other people did do that stuff in between. Because I want to play and I want to talk and I want to create and all the stuff in between. I'm not a doer from that point of view, never have been. I'm not going to, if a house needs painting, I'll be great, but okay, this is the plan for how the house is going to be painted. I'm not going to be doing all that boring. Washing the walls down and saying, oh my God, no, get somebody and do that. But equally, I want it done by this Friday. How are we going to get it done by this Friday? What's the plan for getting it done? That's where I come in. So I think we do need to recognize it's, I'm not saying that you're a bad person because you don't do all the elements of a project. Definitely not. But equally, as a business, you do need to do all the elements of a project. So who's going to do that? Is it you? Have you got somebody else? Is it a bit of software? What is it? But what you can't do is go, well, let's just try and muddle through. Because that's what we end up doing all the time. And that guaranteed doesn't work.
One of the things that may or not be interesting, or you, and I'm sure your listeners will know, is this idea of I used to work in a commissions department, and we used to pay dealers their commission for selling our mobile phones with whatever airtime they chose. Depends where the commission was greatest, as it turns out. But we could pretty much work out how many we were going to get each month. Not necessarily the quantity in terms of value, but how many claims we were going to get. Because most, the big dealers always sold in excess of, then you had the mid-range dealers, and then the smaller one-man band type dealers. So we would be able to calculate roughly how many claims we would get coming through, and we could then accordingly plan that in and make sure we had enough resource in. Some months it was really quite difficult to do, but it gave at least an average that you could start working towards getting those done, because it was a manual process back in those days. Pre-computers on this, not all computers, just computers for this particular process. So we used to have to do it all manually, calculate it, work it out, put the documentation with it. It would come over for review. It would be reviewed. Then it would go to somebody to pay. So it was a process. And towards the month end, when obviously everybody wanted to be paid, and the accounts needed to have got in as much as possible, we needed to be clear that we were going to be able to do it. So knowing our transaction numbers did help with us guesstimating how much time we were going to have to allow each month. And some months were really quiet, and others less so. And you can get that as each year goes by. So it would be interesting to understand, and listeners, please do put your comments in. How do you manage what's coming in? So if I translated that into accountants, and where they are for the end of October, how many clients do you have? How many accounts have you got to go through? How many VAT returns have you got to do? Maybe there's a few other, you normally get two or three mortgage requests you've got to fulfill. I don't know. But if you can start to do it from a numerical perspective, I wonder whether that might help. Have an average time
Yeah.
to work on them. So some will take more, but then some will take less. So you can start to plan from that perspective, and build in some extra time, even though I was told to move it. Build in some extra time for the unexpected. How many unexpecteds have you had in the last quarter? I don't know. Build them in into your plan so that you can start to at least, you're right, you'll have unexpected things coming in, but you've started to build that time in. And I think pretty much that's where the guy was, who was my program director, was trying to tell me. 5 hours working, proper working, not being at your desk and chatting to your colleague or on the phone, actual work, he said, is more than enough. He said, because anything else is, it's just going to be eaten up. So it's like, okay, all right, that makes sense. It did
And
get
you made the
harder.
point earlier that we tend to plan to the nth degree, and I think that is definitely a failure. There are occasions when that's needed, but
Oh, yes,
over the longer
absolutely.
time, it's let's talk about tax returns. To sit there and say, okay, right, we've got 500 tax returns to do this year. Let's make it easy. We've got 10 months to do them in, so that's 50 a month. Five members of staff, that's 10 each. So let's just set up a meeting once a month to make sure you've done your 10 and what 10 you're doing next month. That's a plan, and it took 30 seconds
Yeah,
to put in place.
marvelous.
Yeah,
Thank
it's
you. And you're welcome, listeners.
because then you can prioritize, that then enables you to do the next bit, which is then the decision making, the prioritizing. Someone's now off on holiday, on sui leave for a month. Okay, what are we going to do with their 10? Let's put them to other people. This tax return has not yet come in, and we know it's a more complicated one. Right, what do we need to do to shift things around? Once you've got a basic plan in place, you're in a better position to make your decisions. And that's the military side again, isn't it? Once they go in with their plan, because then when they need to adapt it, they can make their decisions based on what they're seeing and how they need to adapt that plan. But if you don't have that plan in the first place, you've got nothing to adapt. You've got nothing to base those decisions on. You literally, it's skinnier teeth type, type decision making.
And most unexpected isn't unexpected. You've had it before, just
Yeah.
in a different guise. So just look at what's gone on that's taken you by surprise, and allow for that somewhere. Or even if you don't allow the time, have a plan B, C,
Yeah.
D, E, whatever it is. If this happens, then that happens. If that happens, then we go to this, and so forth. So.
It's generally just the timing, as you say, that's unexpected. You know your clients are going to email you.
Yes.
You know your clients are going to be slow responding, and invariably, which clients are going to be slow responding as well. You know typically when your team members are going to be on holiday. You know when they're going to be on study leave. If there's an outbreak of flu, you know that that's probably going to impact some of your team. It's a lot of this stuff. It's just like in the back of your mind, you have to be ready You can't just sit there and go, right, we have a plan and it's going to work, because they don't. It's and that's where leadership comes in and management comes in and communication in particular comes in. But if you have that core plan, you can then adapt.
I
And in the
agree.
world we live in today, your ability to adapt is absolutely critical to the success of your business.
I think you're absolutely right. The ability to adapt. Actually, as you were talking there, two things went through my mind. One is disaster recovery. What if? And not something we've talked about, and I don't propose opening that up, but to be, it's the same thing. It's a plan. That's all it is. Disaster or otherwise, it's a plan. But one of the things, from a planning perspective, that as a project manager, program manager, we used to have, is the risks and issues. And that's where you can capture the stuff that could be the curveball. And you know what? You identify them, and then what you're going to do. And suddenly, all that stress of when it happens, it's okay because you've already thought about it in advance. Yes, it might not be exactly right. Things may have changed. You might have a different system. But if you're reviewing it, even every 6 months, you can check, keep those things up to date. Or if you've had a major change, just make sure you change those plans. So, for example, the risk is that you've got this plan in place, like you say, and your biggest client with the most complex accounts isn't ready. So how are you going to handle it? What will you do? What's the first step? I don't know. I mean, I know what we used to do when I worked in the accounts department and how we used to handle things there, but it was a bigger organisation and, they had a lot more, shall we say, sway with HMRC. So, the smaller the business, less so. But, maybe there's something there to be thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, I think for those accountants, bookkeepers who think that they can't do this, or they can't get on top of their time, or they can't bring things back under control, the vast majority of you were probably in the position that you're in now in March 2020. And let's all remember we're sitting there at home on a Sunday tea time, and Boris comes on the television and tells us that none of us are going to work tomorrow. And within a matter of hours, you sorted your family out, you sorted your team out, you sorted your systems out, you sorted your clients out, you completely reinvented your businesses quite literally overnight in many, many cases. So don't tell yourself that you can't do it, because you absolutely can. The challenges that you face on a daily basis are nothing like that. The different, then you immediately worked out what your priorities were. You put in place a basic plan around that priorities. You didn't worry about what you couldn't control. You didn't worry about what you didn't know. You just grabbed hold of what you could control. And you did that in the most extreme of circumstances. So, hey, if it's a tough Monday morning, you've nailed stuff way in excess of that. It's just about, it always comes back to the same thing, doesn't it? It's your ability to control yourself as a leader and as an advisor to go, okay, right, this isn't how I wanted today to go. But this is what we are. This is where we are. So, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to focus on? What's the plan?
I love it. What's the plan? I feel like I need to end it with Stan. What's the plan, Stan? Is that a song? I don't know where that's come from.
It is a song, and by Paul Simon.
Was it? It might well be. Yeah. What's the plan, Stan? Because that's just a night. And the thing is, your unconscious will respond to that. So it has the answers. Oh, fascinating stuff. And thank you so much for your pearls of wisdom there. Listeners, if you've got any questions on that, Richard Bruin, just reach out to
Oh no, I can't do that. I'm too busy.
I haven't got a plan for that. He's
I've
on
got a plan for
the
that. Don't start emailing me.
unexpectedly.
No, you're all very welcome to.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think sometimes they just need somebody that they can reach out to. And obviously, you've got lots of experience in the arena.
I have this. I make this observation far too often, and it's not just accountants. It's any business where customer service is an issue. You see people moaning about clients, moaning about customers, and they have to go, that is why we are here. It's as simple as that. If our clients never contacted us, there's no business, is there?
There's no business, no.
Okay, so they don't do it when we would like them to. But since when did that ever happen in life? Since when did the kids come in for tea at the when they were supposed to? It just that's life, isn't it?
It is.
And we're as bad. We are as we frustrate other people because we don't do things like they would like us to.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much. That's been really interesting and hopefully insightful for some of our listeners out there and to see what they might do differently. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay.